Troy's Zoning Board of Appeals met last Tuesday to hear a modified plan by developers seeking to convert the United Arminian Calvary Congregational Church into housing for RPI students.
We do have four members present this evening. One of them is going in search of Christine, who showed up. Now we lost him. Oh, here he is. Okay. Point being that with four members, the applicants need to know that if the vote is 2-2, it's a no. So if that means anybody wants to table their case, then feel free to do that. But 2-2 is a no. And as the people who were here last month painfully. Okay, next case, ZB 2018-01, United Armenian Calvary Congregational Church requests a use variance and area variances for a lot area deficiency and excessive density related to a proposal to convert a church into 8 apartments with a combined total of 27 bedrooms and 13 parking spaces at 144 9th Street in an R2 zone.
The hardship associated with this property is unique because of its prior use as a church. This was an R3 zone, which was recently changed to an R2 zone by the city. In an R3 zone, this density would have been acceptable. Now that the zone has changed through legislative act of the city, that has actually created the hardship here. The church itself doesn't really exist. And if the property were to fall into a complete state of disrepair, there wouldn't be anything that the city could do about it. You could pepper the church with tickets, but nobody's ever going to pay them and nobody's ever going to fix the building. I doubt that the city would foreclose on it because then it would just have to take over that financial burden.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, that's fine. Yep, just introduce yourself, please.
My name's Anita. My last name right now is Tarakji Odali.
Okay, whatever.
And my maiden name is Sanukjian. I'm a former congregation member of the Armenian Calvary Church.
And you're speaking in opposition?
So I'm against it because I understood until I came tonight that it wants to be used for RPI students to live there. And I have fought the battle for these 15 or more years I've lived on 10th Street with that. It was a bad experience. So then because we communicate in our neighborhood and I think we take pride in it, I read the mayor's speech he made recently, and he mentioned pride of the neighborhoods. So I've been swung over to the side of being opposed to the use of that church property for students.
Yeah, go ahead, Felix.
So I'm from the neighborhood. I've been born in this neighborhood, and I've lived here all my 14 years, and in the same house, right next door to this church that is looking to be developed. And I am against this proposal because it doesn't meet the requirement for hardship. It does not have it. No hardship has been proven. It has not been on the market for a sufficient amount of time.
Another candidate. How depressing.
Good evening. I'm Francis McGuy, Felix's older brother.
Okay, now we see where he gets it from. Go ahead, Francis.
First off, I'm going to read a letter from my father, who unfortunately is out of town and can't speak for himself. So, I'll start that. I am not opposed to the building being used for housing. We have a good number of graduate students and professors living in the neighborhood, integrated into the fabric of the other residents. However, high density housing that would be for students would fundamentally alter the character of the neighborhood by creating a homogenous group. As our neighborhood continues to improve, what we need there are amenities that will attract more owner occupants. A daycare center, a martial arts gym, artist studios, even a church would be great uses. I feel the application mischaracterizes our neighborhood and mispredicts the housing market.
Okay, come ahead.
As longtime residents...
Your name, please?
Oh, sorry. My name is Amy Halloran. I live at 221 10th Street. And I have since 2001. 1999, we moved in on 9th Street. And I was born here. As longtime residents, we've seen the low self-esteem that Troy has suffered from. Every time someone offers a Blazing Saddles wonder of what is going to renovate our city, we think that that's what we deserve. Things are changing. We get written up in the New York Times for our restaurant scene and called another Brooklyn. We deserve more. We deserve a lot more than someone making windowless bedrooms. That's not really appropriate. People are getting outbid trying to buy houses in our neighborhood. We need to expect good and great things. I have invested in not just my house, but in the city. We collectively as homeowners represent a tax base that needs to get developed and acknowledged for what we've done. I really hope that you don't think that their hopes for making a lot of money on this property is the only way to go. Take a look at what we do and treat that with the equal value. The hours that we spend coming to meetings like this, working on street tree committees, working with community gardens, working with Unity House, working with all the nonprofits that are serving our overly impoverished city. Take into account what residents do as equally important as commercial developers, because our investment may not be as measurable. The PTA, you can't really say what that is when we go to the PTA, but we need to be heard.
Hi, my name is Roya Ansari. I live at 203 10th Street, so I'm directly across from the church. I'm on Eagle Street. They're on Eagle Street. I'm on the south side. All of my points have been touched on. Mainly, it will change the character of the neighborhood, no doubt about it. I have two rental units up on 12. I rent to young professionals. You can get $600 a bedroom, and I've had young professionals pull up and then pull away in their car when they see that I'm catty corner to a fraternity, or they see college kids hanging out outside. They don't want that. That's not the neighborhood that they want to live in. So I just want to make that point, and I also want to point out something I didn't hear anyone talk about today, is potentially RPI, their program for I think it's called the ARCH program or something, where students are going to have to live on campus another year.
I'd like to speak about the fact that that I was a member of Oakwood Avenue Presbyterian Church and engineered the adaptive reuse of that property into a community center. And it never was locked up or vacant for any time, because basically I was the person who stood for that property. And the first speaker who said that she was a church member who would like to do something like that, sounds like she never got an opportunity to do that. It is possible. The property at Oakwood has had repairs under sacred sites, grants, and is on the historic register.
All right, we have a motion to deny. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
On the motion to deny, I vote no.
Mr. McCann.
I would also vote no to deny.
Ms. McClary.
I vote yes to deny.
Mr. Normile.
I vote yes to deny.
Very interesting. Two yeses, two no's, that means
it's a no.
The denial fails.
The denial fails.
Correct.
You're right. I forgot. It was a denial. The denial fails.
I know that there was some confusion at the end of the meeting about how to handle the 2-2 tie, which
right.
happened.
Well, I don't know if you were there at the beginning, but I said at the beginning that when you only have 4 members, which we should have 5, but one resigned in January, and the new one hasn't been appointed yet to take his place. So ordinarily there are five members, which would, if there was going to be a split, would have to be 3-2. But when it's a 2-2 vote, according to the zoning laws, it's a no vote. And the original motion that night was a denial. So therefore, the two, when it was 2-2, it was a no to the denial. So we could have had another vote, but it just would have been 2-2 to approve, and it would have been a no to the approve.
That was WOOC reporter Dan Pfeiffer speaking to Troy Zoning Board Chairperson Catherine Conroy. The Hudson Mohawk Magazine will continue to cover this issue as it develops.